Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The guys on the big show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet. Time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Purchase your 2020 season passes at GreatLakesDragaway.com.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you on a stormy, rainy Monday afternoon. Three top lanes for Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. The right lane. Are the Patriots now a Super Bowl favorite now that they've signed Cam Newton? The left lane. We have no idea what the left lane is because we did like three different topics in the left lane. We'll go with this one. Is Rodgers' relationship with the Packers better than we thought it was when they drafted Jordan Love? And the return lane, which team in Orlando worries you the most for your Milwaukee Bucks as the season gets underway? July 30th, schedule came out on Friday. They start their season July 31st, I should say, Friday, July 31st, against the Celtics. A 5:30 tip on ESPN, first game of the resumption of this season, Friday, July 31st. Great Lakes Dragaway, located in Union Grove, Wisconsin. Affordable family fun. Check out their racing schedule for the upcoming weeks ahead by going to GreatLakesDragaway.com. Just an awesome, awesome place to be, Great Lakes Dragaway. Okay, Gary Ellerson, we'll start with you, the right lane.
Yeah,
do you think the Patriots are now a Super Bowl favorite since the signing of Cam Newton?
I think they are. I think, you know, when you look at the acquisition, Steve, I liked what they did. They did it, what, late Sunday night, something like that. They try to go under the radar with it, try to be real sneaky. But, yeah, Steve, it puts them. I mean, didn't you say, I can't believe the hoodie did it again? Fearful of them. Maybe they're third, but I think they have an opportunity. Listen, it's KC, Baltimore, New England, I believe, in their order. But if this thing works out and you believe that the hoodie is what he is, but Cam's got to stay healthy, obviously, in order for it to work. But if you think the hoodie is what he is, Josh McDaniels, all these guys working together, I think they have a chance to get to the Super Bowl with Cam Newton.
All right, so that's where Gary's at on the right lane.
That's where I'm at, Steve.
Do you think the Patriots are now a Super Bowl favorite,
yes,
like Gary does? The left lane will go to Aaron Rodgers. Is Rodgers' relationship with the Packers better than we thought it was once they drafted Jordan Love? This comes from our guy Brett Favre, Captain Awesome. He was on TMZ and had this to say about Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love.
I think he's doing very well with it. My understanding is he reached out to the young quarterback and they spoke and it was good. I think that's a huge plus and a big step in the right direction for Aaron. My discussions with Aaron, I never got the sense that he was upset that they signed a quarterback, but more so didn't get immediate help. And it just sends the wrong message. I'm not saying that, you know, it's not the the wrong pick, but based on what you're trying to do right now, it doesn't help, necessarily help. And that's kind of where he is with it. But I think he's fine now. I think he's getting – I really think he's as motivated as ever.
There is Brett Favre talking about
Aaron
Rodgers.
Brett Favre double talking, Steve.
Yeah, it feels that way, yeah. But it's,
did Leroy feel that way or no?
Leroy?
Well, I know Leroy just talked to Brett the other day, so they were on TMZ together, I think.
What's the question, Steve?
The question is Rodgers' relationship with the Packers better than we thought it was when they drafted
Jordan as Leroy Lowe? As Leroy is his boy double talking. Just ask him the question, Steve.
Sorry. Leroy, do you think Brett Favre is double talking?
Of course not, because I know Brett Favre. Y'all don't know him. I think we all have evolved.
That's
what it is. Because we all were shocked, upset, or whatever. I even say that's the one player they shouldn't get.
That's the one?
I mean, before the draft, we all felt that way. We did. Everybody was shocked when they said they've traded up. Uh-oh. I wanted to kid them. Inside linebacker from Oklahoma.
We all did. We all thought they were taking Queen. Patrick Queen.
The other kid from Oklahoma, Steve, that went ahead of him.
Oh, yeah, he was gone already. But Patrick Queen was still on the board.
But I'm saying when I hear moving up, okay, well, hey, if he's gone, Kenneth Murray, okay, Queen. Okay, maybe not. Maybe the kid, Ajuk, or whatever, the wide receiver that
went
to San Francisco. Ajuk, both of those families.
Him too.
But I said, well, wait a minute, something else going on here. Jordan Love is your pick. So we all were shocked. And then Brett Favre said, you know, that's a fresh reaction. How many times you guys have ever had an argument with your spouse or girlfriend or y'all? You get in an argument, you say a lot of stuff, and you get away from it. Like 3 weeks later, you know what? I ain't really mean to say that. I meant, I just kind of phrased it wrong. Here's what I really meant. So, and Aaron said it himself. I know y'all don't remember that, but they interviewed him. I think they could have been tougher on him, asking more follow-up questions. But it's hard to do interviews when you're not in person. And, you know, somebody had dogs barking in the back. It was just all terrible. So they can ask him later in the summer what they really meant about the pick or whatever. Ultimately, nothing's going on here with Aaron Rodgers and the organization. It's all business. But Aaron did say something that was very key. The controllables. Everything is back, kind of what Bob McGinn said. Bob McGinn said, some paraphrasing, that pick was made so they can have leverage on him. So if you use the word leverage and controllables, I guess it could be looked at the same way. But there's no fire here. There's no fire here.
What fire? Like who's looking for fire, man? Nobody looking for fire,
yes,
man.
Yes, they are. Gary, they're looking for like what Brett Favre did
for
when
like
he left.
What?
You know how they split? I mean, everybody split. It was we had the barbecue down at Maddie's. Everybody hated Brett Favre, or you hated Ted Thompson.
Barbecue was great.
Or you didn't like the Packers.
It was.
None
great,
of that
Steve.
Is going on. Okay,
Steve,
everything is
great.
Fine. If you think about it and be honest with yourself, you've evolved. You understand these picks, and you're hoping the team can win now, try to get to the Super Bowl, and at the same time have a quarterback in the future. Because I could not believe every time Aaron Rodgers got hurt, you guys would complain, why don't they draft the quarterback? I don't believe they got Vince Young out there. They got all these guys out there that can't win no game. Eddie Lacy got to do it by himself. I got my hand on my hip, Gary. I don't believe it. So now they've done that.
Back and forth.
Yes, they've done that. So I thought those people would be ecstatic.
Ecstatic.
But they're not. They got this false chatter.
It was
like they're upset.
First round pick coming off of the NFC Championship game.
What's wrong with that?
Okay, then. Mike in Greenfield, you're next on the Wendy's
Come on,
Mike. Show. Good afternoon, Mike.
Come on with it, Mike. Come on, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
No. You know, Favre's got to sound smart when, because he's probably looking for a TV job. But
he got a TV job, Mike. What are you talking about?
Known as the crazy hillbilly from wherever. Anyhow,
why are you attacking
from Kill,
him,
Mississippi, Mike? From Kill, from the Kill.
Kill, Mississippi.
Leroy been down there. Leroy, you been to his house?
Man, let Mike talk.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
My father passed.
Yeah, you can.
I got a little. I wasn't as probably a quality father, husband as I could have been. But and the same thing happened to Favre. But that's. I'm going to go with Rodgers. Rodgers, just like Favre said, he was more upset probably that they didn't get, you know, either another weapon or.
Exactly.
Defensive help, I mean, that had to enter his mind.
Preach,
but
Mike.
He came around and started, you know, working with the team, and both sides are saying the right thing. He's making the best of it because he does want to compete. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the same mindset as Christian Yelich to be a little more favorable with the contract. But he wants the best for his last couple years, and he's a team player, so... I think his relationship is much improved.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Hey, drive carefully, Mike, if you're out there in this weather.
Yeah, no, he ain't out there. He in the house.
I love our callers, man. He makes some great points. He does.
So you ever been to Brett Favre's house?
I don't want to disclose where I've been, Steve.
So
I
no?
love it in Wisconsin.
That's all right.
I love it in Wisconsin.
That's Steve. That's Leroy's favorite teammate. They both favorite teammates.
I like it in Wisconsin. I ain't in no hurry to go nowhere. Are you talking about in the past or now?
I didn't say to move in with them. I just said, have you been there?
They favorite teammates of each other. Of course.
Hey, man, listen.
Gilbert's his favorite teammates up.
I don't know
what Brett Favre said on the radio thing. TMZ, Brett Favre says his favorite teammate.
You need to stop.
I'm trying to think.
Well, that's what Leroy said. One of y'all said. I don't know which one said.
That's a good question. I wonder how many players' houses I went to. Not the ones in Green Bay, outside the state.
Okay.
I don't think I went to one guy's house.
Anybody ever been to your house?
No.
No?
Oh. No, we don't go to each other. I mean, in Wisconsin, of course, we shoot a little dice on Tuesday. But, my house in Florida?
And Jacksonville.
I think.
The big one.
Maybe Edgar? Maybe?
Yeah, y'all live in the same
town. He's a Florida guy, right. Maybe. Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I don't have a good memory, but we don't go to your people's houses.
That's not a thing, no.
Aaron went down there, though.
Well, they're supposedly doing some type of video or something, aren't they?
Documentary type thing.
Yeah.
They're still doing it. They're still doing it.
They are still doing it.
Yeah.
Good. I hope this Jordan Love thing is a part of it. Ryan in Brookfield.
It might be.
You're next on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to comment on what you said, Leroy, about, you know, thinking that the drafting of Jordan Love in the first round would appease all those fans who, you know, wanted the Packers to get a solid backup to Rodgers over the years. I love you, Leroy. You're a hero to me growing up in Wisconsin in the 90s. I think you're missing the boat on this one, though.
Set me straight.
I just think that this is just another sign that we've seen happen again and again over the last 10 years where the Packers just don't play for the moment. They don't play for now. They don't seize the day. You know, instead, they just are always building for the future. You know, there's so many of those years, maybe, two or three years, we had a real chance to get in the playoffs when Rodgers went down with his collarbone injuries and what have you. And instead of having a proven backup quarterback, like a journeyman veteran type, who you know would have won, you know, 3 out of 5 games, 4 out of 6 games. Instead, they have a guy in that quarterback room who's just a project. They're building for the future. And I think this is the same thing. I think most scouts agree this guy isn't ready to go and win, you know, 3 out of 6 games right now if he goes
in. Not.
You know what I mean? So I think that's just. Yeah.
No, you're correct.
Yeah,
I think you're correct with that. But we also need to know that they were getting veterans. They just weren't any good. So wouldn't you like to have somebody eventually – that they deem that the guy was ready. And here's my question to the people that think you're wasting Aaron Rodgers. The Green Bay Packers didn't waste Aaron Rodgers. How many championship games they went to? How many championship games? They went to a lot of them. They didn't win them.
I would argue back, you know, Aaron Rodgers took them to how many championship games?
Why didn't he win them then? Why didn't he win them?
Yeah, but, you know, you look at teams. I mean, players win.
Oh, nice teams. Okay,
Granted, these are all cliches, but that's the reality, I think. You know, and I think overall, to sum it up, it just seems like Packers have not played for the now. You look at teams like, say, New England, right? They see that they have a competitive team. They're a player away at a certain position, and they go get Cam Newton.
They go get it.
Veteran guy who can win a big-time game. He's done it.
Can I move back to your one comment, though? You said that you like to think that Rodgers took them to the championship game. Then if he took them to the championship game, did he lose the championship game as well?
No.
I don't know. You watch that game against Atlanta in, what was it, 2016?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was on him. I mean, again, they had key needs in the middle of the season in the secondary. And instead, they just ride with guys that you knew weren't going to be any good. You knew that we weren't going to be able to make plays when it mattered, you know? That was a perfect example of that, you know, where, I don't know, like Aaron Rodgers didn't lose that game. Did Aaron Rodgers lose against Seattle?
If you're going to give him all the credit to get him to the championship game, you got to give him the blame from not getting him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's that simple. I think you got to look
at it. Okay.
All right. Look at the individual games. Look at that game that.
Well, how can you say he got him there? Then he said, and then in the same breath say that he didn't lose it.
Yeah, just because the guy is amazing. Look at that game he had against Dallas.
Okay,
that sort of Darren
Cook
in the end. That was incredible. You can't expect that to just like take you every single game. You just can't expect that. So I think
just leave it at that. Yeah,
I just wish they just went for played for the now.
Yeah.
They just knew that and I think they loved it. So I appreciate your time, guys.
No, thank you. Appreciate your phone call. You know what that felt like, Steve?
I tuned him out like 5 minutes ago. What did he say?
Yeah.
Why you tuned him out?
Because I was reading Al Duncan going after who's she going after? She's going after Jameel Hill. I don't understand.
Oh yeah, they got still Leroy.
I didn't know there was beef between these two.
Oh yeah, no, well, not even her. Jameel and Carrie Champion.
Her too?
Yeah.
They got a show together.
Yeah, they spewing some stuff right now. Carrie and Jameel are just straight off the hook.
They got a new
right
show.
Al Duncan just went after her too.
Against all the girls. All the girls that are still on ESPN, Carrie and Jameel is unfiltered.
They're going
right
after
now.
The girls that are on ESPN?
Just it's all girls. You know, we got the black, white stuff, Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. We got all that kind of stuff going on, blah, blah, blah. You think I'm your friend, you really ain't my friend. I'm not your friend. How you treat people. I just want to go to work and go home, all kind of stuff. Then you on the slide.
Because there's this whole thing about Jameel Hill, quote, being canceled thing has been going on all day on Twitter.
Yeah, well, then you go
so
on.
Al Duncan,
just straight crazy. Go ahead.
She just tweeted at her, hey, Jameel Hill, which platform do you choose to address being, quote, canceled on? One of your two podcasts, your new TV show, and your The Atlantic column, where you just say F it and make some newish up and realize it through the production company you own and release it through the production company you own. Decisions, am I right? Tweeting at her. I didn't realize there was so much hate between people at ESPN and Jameel Hill.
Oh, yeah, the girls. Yeah, Jameel and Carrie.
What did...
Carrie went out, she ain't calling your name, but y'all be smiling all these guys' faces, then behind doors you go and be sleeping with these guys and stuff like that.
They went there?
Allegedly. Right?
Man.
I thought that's pettiness.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. She is pettiness.
Well, that is crazy. Gary Ellison, Leroy Butler.
That rescued our last call, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Leroy got me all messed up.
Forget about it, man.
What you see, you said it's on Twitter, Steve.
She just tweeted it. Time now for the Chevy Drive Home Moment of the Big Show featuring Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
It's time for the Chevy Drive Home Moment of the Big Show.
Do you think that these guys will get their timing back? Can they get back to where they were, or is this off time is going to hurt the Bucks more than any other team that are out there right now?
You know, I think it helps in the sense that, you know, when play stopped, Giannis was hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a knee injury that we thought that, you know, wouldn't last that long. It wouldn't be that big of an issue. You know, but you have no idea how his recovery would have gone while trying to come back from injury and then play games. You know, he might have pushed back too early or something like that. But now he has definitely had time off. You know, these guys are getting in the gym now. They're being able to, you know, go to the practice facility. Training camp starting tomorrow. So they're going to start having more action. They're going to have like a month to kind of dust off the cobwebs and probably another month after that, or at least like 2 or 3 weeks before the playoffs.
Your drive home today on The Fan was driven by WisconsinDrivesChevy.com.
You want to hear more of that interview with Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel? Stay tuned. That'll be coming up after our CBS News update. But first, Gary Ellerson's going to tell you the best place to go to maybe build a brand new deck, maybe an outside kitchen, maybe get your own kitchen inside remodeled, Gary. Who is that?
My good friends over at J&J Contracts. Guys, you're looking to create that livable space in your house. My good friends at J&J Contracts can do that. What do I mean about livable space? Well, you've got that basement down there, and it hasn't been finished out. Call them up. They can put in a game room for you, or they can create like a den area. They can a playroom, put in a bathroom in your basement if you didn't have it, along with the playroom. And now all of a sudden you got that bath and a half. You're like, honey, we need another bathroom. They can add in a bathroom. If you're thinking about redoing your kitchen, renovating your kitchen, my good friends at J&J Contracts can come over and renovate your kitchen. And what do I mean about renovating your kitchen, Leroy? That means kitchen cabinets.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
That means new countertops. They can come in and put that granite countertop that you always wanted in your house. Put them wood cabinets in there with the nice trim that you like. Leroy, and what about right now? What about that outdoor oasis outside, complete with a fireplace? Yes. My good friends at J&J Contractors can do that.
Some s'mores.
And so much more. Yeah, cook some s'mores in it. So much. Call Jason today at J&J Contractors.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. Thanks to Tim Allen and Joe Zanzola for filling in last week on the Wendy's Big Show while I was off. Appreciate it. And Tim Allen filling back in on the Big Show this coming Friday, July 30th. He'll be back here as he's starting to get himself ramped up for some Brewers baseball coming up at the end of the month. So it'll be fun to see how the Brewers look like. They put out their 45-man roster today. I don't think there's really anything surprising one way or the other. I mean, some people are, oh, where's Corey Ray? Well, they've got 15 players to add. Those 15 players will be the one, or at least part of them, will be the ones that will be in Appleton. I would assume Corey Ray will be on there. There's talk, and give credit to Gary Ellerson on this one, there's talk that their first-round pick, who is not signed yet, could join them in Appleton. It might be one of the guys that might be in Appleton playing as part of this taxi squad or whatever through the rest of the season. So Garrett Mitchell, we'll see if that actually ends up happening. As of right now, I don't believe he has signed. They've signed the other four draft picks. They have not signed him yet. So we'll see how that works. Earlier in the show, Matt Velasquez joined us of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There you go. I can talk. And we talked to him about the strength of schedule for the Bucks and what he thought of this Bucks schedule, knowing darn right well that a lot of these guys may not even play all that much in this 8-game stretch.
You know, I thought it was basically what I expected. I assumed they would play every other day with maybe one back-to-back in there, which is what they got. You know, some late-night games, you know, some, like you said, afternoon games, which I always like. But it makes sense with a lot of Western Conference teams. You know, you want those markets to be able to watch them at a normal time. So if you have, you know, 13 out of the 22 are Western Conference teams, you're going to try and put those teams later. So the Bucks are going to be earlier. And that's just kind of normal. In terms of the opponents, it's pretty much what we expected, just following their schedule. Except instead of playing the Wizards twice, they limited that to once. So they'll finish against the Grizzlies. But overall, I mean, it wasn't really surprising to me at all. And the most important thing is, you know, this is just a warm-up for the playoffs because, you know, there's basically no situation I can imagine where they won't be the one seed. So this is all about just kind of, you know, shaking off the rust and getting ready for, you know, the really important games.
So what are the odds are that this is actually going to happen? Like, we're really going to have an NBA season?
Well, I think the odds are really good that it's going to happen. At least that it's going to start. The question,
right, okay,
you know, that no one really knows the answer to is it going to end the way we want it to? Are they going to be able to keep going? And if they can start it, I think they can. I think they have everything lined up to start it. And we'll see. Obviously, everybody's monitoring the virus cases in Orlando and around, you know, where all the players are going to be in the bubble, in the quote-unquote bubble. But, you know, the question is, can they sustain this for the 3 months that it's going to take to finish out the season? And that, you know, we just don't know.
See, that's the one thing. Rudy Gobert coming out and saying, I've had this how long ago, and I still don't have my sense of smell necessarily back at this point. And everybody wants to talk about this COVID-19 thing. Well, if you're young, you're fine. You're not going to die, it doesn't appear. But he does have some long-term effects, side effects from this thing. And you have to think that some of these other NBA players are seeing, even though they may not have all been that happy with Rudy Gobert when this whole thing started, but I'm sure are looking at Rudy Gobert now and saying, okay, what is he going through all these weeks later? If I get it, does that mean that's what I may end up having to go through too? And the more and more, like you said, cases that come along, I think it's going to create some uneasiness amongst the players. Do you think there's something there that says, all right, if this happens, we're out. Like, we're going to stop. I saw somebody put out the other day of what happens if Giannis and LeBron are playing each other in the finals and they both catch it. Are they going to stop the finals and resume it when they're both healthy again? Or are they going to let it play out? Is it going to be, well, you know, 60% of the players have COVID, we're done. Or 40% of the players have COVID, we're done. Do you have any sense that there is some type of line drawn in the sand as far as what may stop this thing?
Yeah, I think the NBA has been intentionally vague with what happens if, like, you know, five players for the team, you know, come down with the virus at the same time. Because I don't think they have an answer. I don't think they have a plan other than, like, you know, we'll figure it out. And individual guys will be quarantined and all that stuff. But, like, they haven't come up with, you know, any type of written rule or spoken rule that they've let out to anyone that I know of what they're going to do in that situation. You know, or what happens if, you know, multiple players from the team have it, but then other players and different teams are like, hey, we just played against them. I'm nervous now. You know, I know future opponents are saying, hey, we don't want to play, or we're not ready. You know, we don't run that risk. So I think that, you know, all that stuff is going to have to be ironed out on a case-by-case basis as things happen. And, you know, you just kind of have, if the NBA is going to go down this path, which I would say isn't necessarily a bad path, but if they're going to go down this path to try and play games, yeah, they're going to have to get ready to address problems as they happen because, you know, I think in a perfect world, no problems happen. But, you know, we don't live in a perfect world. Something's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead and lend you my phrase that pays, and it is, it's a fluid situation, right?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And let me ask you this, though. So, I mean, when you look at Giannis and how this thing is going to start back up, do you think that these guys will get their timing back? Can they get back to where they were, or is this off time is going to hurt the Bucks more than any other team that are out there right now?
You know, I think it helps in the sense that, you know, when play stopped, Giannis was hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a knee injury that we thought that, you know, wouldn't last that long. It wouldn't be that big of an issue. You know, but you have no idea how his recovery would have gone while trying to come back from injury. And then play games. You know, he might have pushed back too early or something like that. So now he has definitely had time off. You know, these guys are getting in the gym now. They're being able to, you know, go to the practice facility. Training camp starting tomorrow. So they're going to start having more action. They're going to have basically a month to kind of dust off the cobwebs and probably another month after that, or at least like 2 or 3 weeks before the playoffs. We kind of know they're seeing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll help. They'll have time. Maybe not help, but like I said the last time I was on with you guys, any situation that allows the Bucks to continue this season helps. If they had to call this season quits and be done with it, you know, that's obviously the worst case scenario for them because the window for them is open, and all they need to do is round back into shape, keep everybody as healthy as possible, and, you know, let it play out on the court because they have a great opportunity if it plays out on the court.
When you look at this schedule, Matt, obviously they start against Boston. 5:30 Central tip, Friday, July 31st. Then they have the Rockets on Sunday, August 2nd. That's a 7:30 tip. I think both those games are good. The Nets, don't really care about the Nets game. Heat game, that could be fun on Thursday, August 6th. Again, that's a Thursday game with a 3 o'clock Central tip right during the big show. We'll be able to watch that during the show. Then the Mavericks, don't really care about that game. And then the Raptors, Monday, August 10th. That's a 5:30 tip. Definitely care about that one. And then Wizards and Grizzlies to round it out. Probably don't care about those. So of the eight games, probably three or four games I think most fans will definitely want to watch. The problem is you just don't know how much Giannis is going to play. You just don't know how much Middleton or Bledsoe are going to play, or because they're right there to clinch. It could be clinched within a game, I think. Because of that, they may just keep these guys laid back, and you may really not see what this team is all about until the playoffs start.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question that I know I have, and I'm sure a lot of fans have going into all this, is how do the Bucks handle those eight seeding games? How do they handle the three preseason games before that? They have 11 games before they hit the playoffs, and three of them definitely don't matter, and probably six of the other ones don't matter either. In terms of figuring out, where they are seeding-wise. So how much do they play their guys? How much does Bud want to help guys, kind of play back into shape and play back into, getting their chemistry right and their timing right and all that stuff? And how much do you want to say, you know what, I'm going to play these guys like it's a preseason game. Play Giannis 20 to 25 minutes a game. Do that for all the starters. Try and keep things normal during those minutes. But then we won't see a lot of, DJ Wilson, Thanasis Denikumbo, D-League MVP Frank Mason. We might see a lot of Cam Reynolds. They have a 17-man roster. They might go all the way, to the bottom of that roster to try and make sure everybody has a chance to kind of play at least a little bit. And we don't know, that Raptors game, that's like the second to last, regular season seeding game. Who knows on either team if anybody's going to play, any starters at all? Because, maybe at that point, guys will have at least had a chance to play a little bit, get into a little bit of a groove, and, second to last game for both teams, just, hopefully just empty the bench and let's get to the playoffs.
We're going to talk about this a little bit later, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you this question. Who do you think is the biggest threat to the Milwaukee Bucks?
I think that's a pretty crowded group, I'd say.
Obviously
the Raptors. The Celtics have been playing really well, or had been playing really well when everything stopped. The Heat have had the Bucks number a little bit this season. And then the Sixers, we know what they're capable of when they're at their best. The question is always, can they be at their best? So I think all four of those are tough. I think the only downside to all of this for the Bucks is the Sixers will have the opportunity to get into the 4-5 seed, that matchup for the playoffs. And if they win a first round series, then you get the 76ers in the second round. And so if you get the 76ers in the second round, that's going to be a knockdown, drag out, battle between two teams that were expected to be maybe 1-2, the two best teams in the East this year, not there in the second round. So, I think that poses a considerable threat. The Bucks got to be rooting for the Pacers as much as they can, because I think that's a team that could definitely beat, pretty handily in a seven-game series. If you can get them somehow in the second round, that's kind of the best-case scenario. But I would say, Philly, Toronto, and Boston, in Miami, it's just so hard to parse between those teams, especially not knowing how they're going to look when they get back.
The one thing I've been curious about, talking with Matt Velasquez, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covers the Milwaukee Bucks, is you bring up Philly, and I just read a piece by Tobias Harris over the weekend, talking about they had chemistry issues, he said, at the beginning of the season, that they were still trying to work out before this whole thing stopped. Now you're going to put all these guys in one resort together, all these players on the same team and coaching staffs. Everybody's going to be together on and off of the court consistently. We know the Bucks have the chemistry advantage over most teams in the NBA coming into the season. They probably still do coming out of this thing as well. But those teams maybe that lack that chemistry, do you think they can build it quicker with the way it's going to be put together through a playoff run than they could have if they weren't forced to be in one city, in one resort, all together, all the time?
Yeah, I think part of it depends on how they've been using these past 3 months. Have they been talking together, on Zoom or through text chats, and kind of maybe working through some of the issues that they had? Maybe, absence has made the heart grow fonder in certain situations, and they've been able to figure that out. I mean, if teams have chemistry issues, I don't think the Bucks would be one of those things. But if other teams have those issues that continue to crop up during the playoffs, and then, no team is going to have a home court advantage, which I think hurts other teams more than it hurts the Bucks. Not saying that the Bucks' home court advantage isn't significant, but when you look at their record, they were great on the road, they were great at home, each of the past two seasons. I mean, they were great no matter where they played. Other teams
in the East. You know, you look at the Sixers, you know, they were pretty abysmal on the road and it's fantastic at home. So, you know, that could be a big difference if you don't have that home court advantage or that home crowd to feed off of in the way that some teams really need it. Maybe your chemistry issues, you know, fester a little bit more, you have more problems. And when it comes to being stuck at the resort, I mean, maybe there'll be some advantages and disadvantages in the sense that, yes, you'll be stuck with your team the whole time, but there will also be a whole bunch of other teams at your resort. And if you have friends on other teams, you can see them. You have no family around you, nothing kind of distracting you. You can just go hang out with your buddies from another team, and that might be okay.
There he is, Matt Velasquez from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, earlier today on the Wendy's Big Show. Back after this here on The Fan. All right, that'll do it for the Wendy's Big Show. Our thanks to Matt Velasquez and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for joining us to talk Bucks earlier in the show. Also joining us, Sean Devaney of Heavy.com to talk about the NBA schedule coming out. Both of those you can hear by simply hitting rewind on your radio.com app or go to 1057fmthefan.com and hit up Fan on Demand, brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your evening. For Gary Ellis and Leroy Butler, I'm Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon again at 2 here on the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. Toodles!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.